You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. I'm sitting on Jeff's left in front of Matt and across from
Jeff's
Ken.
Jeff's lap.
I am also in Jeff's lap, and I'm wearing some of those waist, what do you call them?
Assless chaps.
Well, yeah. The little thing, you know, when you shake, they're like little bells. That's what I'm wearing. For like belly dancing.
Belly dancer, yeah. Oh,
the little bells.
Okay. If this is your first episode, thank you for listening.
Yeah, if you haven't heard our show before, it always opens with someone talking about belly dancing.
Please follow our Instagram for a picture of Neil belly dancing.
Or at least a diagram of what he's describing and where we're sitting.
Yeah, I don't know what he's describing.
And Jeff has drawn something on his score sheet. What is that, Jeff?
I'm just doodling.
I think he wrote,
"Luckily,
please
he's
stop.
Just a scorekeeper today."
Oh. Yeah, Jeff is scorekeeping today. He will not be playing. How does that make
you? He's a doodle machine.
Yeah, Jeff the doodler.
I actually do it like every week.
I know. I watch you from across the table. Drives me crazy.
I can't sit still. So
just big shout out to all of our patrons. We are close to 450 patrons. We're hoping to get to 500. So thank you to all of you who have been joining in the last month or so.
How close are we?
We're about 50 to go.
Oh.
50 to 500. That's so. Going to be the new hashtag, 50 to 500. But I guess it would change every
it's
time.
Very
we
long.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have some special guests here today for an episode that we're super excited about. It's a nighttime episode, which means all bets are off. So maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
So if you're listening to this in the day, turn it off. Wait till the sun sets.
Come back at night.
Get a beer, get a glass of wine, a cup of coffee or something. Draw a bath.
Obey the law. Get some claw.
Is that the phrase?
I don't know. Maybe.
You drink claw.
I had a couple before this recording.
A couple?
A couple. There's a lot of cans over here. But we have some special guests. Our first special guest is actually going to be partnering with me today. And I felt a kinship with him because of a movie he mentioned. And that's we'll get to in a minute. But
was it Spielberg?
It was not Spielberg. Oh. It's an obscure 80s movie,
it's
which is another spectrum of mine. Mm. He's coming to us from Huntsville, Alabama. And that is David LaValle. How are you, David?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing awesome. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We're excited to have you here.
So I'm an aerospace engineer here in the Huntsville area, which means I work for the government on stuff. I got a wife and two kids. I grew up in Huntsville, and I've been back here ever since college. And I play guitar in a Jimmy Buffett cover band.
What an interesting set of skills you must have.
I was not expecting any of that.
Doing aerospace engineering and then going to Margaritaville.
It's like
at
you
night.
Pick jobs and a hobby out of a hat, and that's what happened.
That's very impressive.
How crazy does the audience go when you play fins? That's my question.
Very. That's usually what we end the set with, or maybe end the first set with. We have
fins
fun
is the one. I knew it.
What's that about? Is it about like sharks?
Fins to the left, fins to the right. Yeah, it's sharks.
Sharks or something.
Left okay. Shark. I imagine.
Well, one of them.
And David, we're happy to have you here. Especially, I'm glad to be your partner today because we're so lucky to have all these smart people on our show. So it's nice to have someone be smart, you know, for the program.
Just remember, smart doesn't mean good at trivia.
Well, I'll get in the goofiness for it. But anyway, we're going to partner today. Why don't you mention the movie that you said and what's going to be our team name today?
Oh, so Huntsville is the home to the best bad 80s movie, Space Camp.
Space Camp.
So we were going to be Neil Goes to Space Camp.
Beautiful. Yep. Neil Goes to Space Camp, starring a very young Joaquin Phoenix and Kelly Preston. So we're excited. But we need a host to play the game. And we have a special host coming to us from Sandy Springs, Georgia. He's an Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, and that is Zane Placey. How are you, Zane?
Doing great, thanks.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I work in pension actuarial consulting, which is a fancy way of just saying that I use Excel a lot. and last spring, I graduated from the University of Georgia, so go Dogs.
Congratulations on your graduation and excelling in Excel.
There are worse things to excel at.
That's very true. Well, we have Zane here hosting our game today. We're excited that he wrote it for us. We have David ready to play. It's going to be me and David at Neil Goes to Space Camp, but Ken and Matt are going to play together. What are you thinking for a team name?
We'll be Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp.
Ooh, those sound like two very good camps to go to. I prefer Camp Nowhere by Christopher Lloyd.
That makes sense.
Yes. All right. Well, let's throw it to the rules guy and see how the game is played.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh yeah.
I was expecting that, those rules specifically, to be honest.
They were very on brand.
After 260 episodes?
Yeah. I mean,
about there.
Even more.
It might be 59, 61,
whatever.
They
haven't changed very much.
No,
not at all.
I don't believe they've changed at all, in fact.
I think you're right.
If anybody's angry about the rules out there, let us know.
We'll change them? Or just...
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
I just want to hear grievances.
Yeah, fair enough.
Completely new rules.
Airing
I got new
grievances.
Rules. I got them.
We don't like 0 to 30. Why isn't it 0 to 50? It makes a lot more sense. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't pick up the phone. Number one.
Zane, you have the keys now. Feel free to take it away. We're ready to get going.
Awesome. A few of the category names have hints in them, but not very many. Just letting you know. Question one, false advertising. In a 1999 lawsuit, John Leonard alleged breach of contract after which company refused to redeem its supposed offer, as depicted in a commercial, to exchange an AV-8 Harrier jump jet for 7 million of its rewards points. In her ruling, Judge Kimba Wood offered several explanations of why the commercial was not fraudulent under contract law, opining that in light of the Harrier jet's well-documented function in attacking and destroying surface and air targets, depiction of such a jet as a way to get to school in the morning is clearly not serious.
I think I actually know this one.
Oh, I'm glad because I have
right off the bat.
I have no idea. So let's lock in.
I think this is around the time that Pepsi was offering Pepsi points.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It's not Go-Gurt.
No.
I can imagine Go-Gurt having a commercial where you take a jet to school, but
yeah.
I'm good with Pepsi.
Yeah, I think you opened the cap and there was an amount of points on
sure.
it. So.
All right, we'll go with Pepsi and not Go-Gurt.
Yep, that's what I got. I got Pepsi.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Go-Gurt.
Both teams getting points. It is Pepsi.
I was thinking of that scene in Punch Drunk Love, which I love, with the snack packs. Is that what they were? Adam Sandler?
The pudding cups.
Or the pudding cups, yeah. He's collecting all of them. He got all his free trips. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a skateboard from Capri Sun once.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Did you? Was it really hard to open the skateboard?
Yes.
Get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to keep stabbing and stabbing, and then I stabbed my own hand once.
What's going on with your voice today?
I don't know.
I think you just I think
you're grizzled.
Hey, let's do this for the listeners. This is some behind the scenes. Can you
I got
like
a skateboard from
can
Capri
you put your can you put your mouth into your elbow and do a nice real big cough for us and see if it clears your throat? Just for the behind the scenes
turn
for
your
listeners.
Head.
Turn your head and cough.
Hold on, I'll grab your testy.
Feel better?
Oh, I feel great.
We'll add it. We'll add in a better cough. That one was bad.
All right.
Question two, roll tears. Being an alumnus of the University of Georgia and a proud fan of our national champion Georgia Bulldogs, I always enjoy a good Alabama loss. In October 2021, the Tide lost to an unranked opponent for the first time since 2007. What school, known as the home of the 12th man, notched this victory?
Well, the reason I know that the 12th man is disputed because Seattle tried to copyright the 12th man.
Oh, right.
For the Seahawks
stuff,
did.
Yeah.
But the college team disputed. So I'm thinking I think we can lock in with an answer.
Cool.
Well, I do know, as a Mississippi State graduate, I also enjoy a good Alabama loss. I had Louisiana Lafayette in my head. They like had trouble with them 1 year, but I don't think it was last year, and I don't think they'd do anything with the 12th man. The other thing I had in my head was, who's the team that has the, they don't have the cheerleaders, they have like the cadets. Is it Texas A&M?
Oh, that could be Texas A&M. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
They're also in the SEC West, so there's a high probability Alabama played them.
That's a lot closer than I would get. I believe I saw this on the news or on Twitter or something like that. I can't picture it, but I mean, your reasoning makes sense for Texas A&M if you just want to lock that one in, because I'm not sure on any other team, unfortunately.
I mean, it's a good swag, if nothing else.
Well, I was in that same region. I was looking at Texas, thinking Texas, Texas Tech, but I'm pretty sure it is Texas A&M. I think that's correct. So we said Texas A&M.
Both teams getting points again. It was Texas A&M.
Nice job.
The team they lost to in 2007 was University of Louisiana Monroe. Question 3. Speed. I am speed. The Acela, a flagship Amtrak service that reaches 150 miles per hour along parts of its route, and thus boasts the fastest trains in the Americas, runs between what two cities? Appropriately, these cities are the northern and southern endpoints of a namesake megalopolis, home to over 50 million people.
I'm not too familiar with megalopolis. Megalopolis?
Metalocalypse. I don't understand the...
Dunkin' Hill's coffee.
The last part of that. Well, I really don't know, but he said the Americas, so maybe it runs into Canada. Do you want to say, like, Toronto, which is a pretty huge city, and Houston?
That's a far train.
Yeah, but, you know,
okay.
Modern technology.
Toronto and Houston, we got it.
Done.
Are you familiar with this Amtrak train, David?
I have zero clues about what's going on. You said 150 million people? Isn't that like...
50 million.
When he said namesake, I was trying to think of some like a large area that has like a specific name. Like when you say the Bay Area, you mean typically like Oakland and San Francisco. You mean like a large area that encompasses more than one city.
I liked your idea about the West Coast, though. I mean, do you want to just say like you said, the Bay Area? So maybe Oakland or San Francisco to Vancouver?
I have no other entry point into this, so I am great with that guess.
Okay, we'll officially say San Francisco to Vancouver.
And we're sticking with Toronto and Houston.
No points. This is Boston to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That area is known as Boswash. And a megalopolis is not any kind of comic book reference. It's just a name for a group of cities that are close to each other and result in a big area that is all very densely populated and has a very large population.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like their sprawls end up overlapping.
So, because you've got Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C. all along that area right there.
Cool.
Question 4. Lou Bega must have a type. What is the only name in Mambo number 5 that does not end with the letter A?
I got it.
Of course, as we all know, this is my favorite song. So
yeah, we're locked in.
We're locked in.
Well-established triviality lore.
Mm-hmm. Combo number 5.
I believe you make love to it as well in the lore. I believe that's canon.
That was not required to be brought up.
He makes love and macaroni and cheese to that song.
It's a 3.5-minute song, by the way.
German, right? Lou Bega?
Yes.
5 times better than I was hoping for.
Okay, so how was your Mambo number 5 knowledge?
Terrible. I'm a 90s kid with conservative parents, so I have the Disney version of this song stuck in my head, and I sing about like
little
Huey, Dewey, Louie.
And in my life.
No, it's like mostly ducks and dogs. It's not even humanoid characters, which is really weird for...
Disturbing.
I actually think that's more offensive than women.
Yeah, that's true.
But
all right, I'm just let me just think out loud here quick. Let's see. A little bit of Monica, and then a little bit of, I think, Erica by my side, a little bit of Gina.
Gina and Tina?
Tina. Sarah? I think maybe Sarah. A little bit of Sarah.
I had written Sharon.
With an H.
So,
at the end.
I'm
Gina spelled UH at the end, right?
It sounds like you have it somewhat more confidence than I do. Like I said, I wrote down Sharon just because that name popped into my head, but I cannot, like I said, I can't get Huey, Dewey, and Louie out of my head.
Yeah, it's either Sherry, Sharon, or Sarah. Little Sherry, little Sarah in the sun. I think it's, I'm just going to go Sarah. We're going to lock in with that.
With an H. Sarah with an H.
Sarah with an H.
All right. It's Mary, pretty sure.
Oh,
yes. It is not Sarah with an H, but it is Mary.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that makes, yeah, that's definitely correct.
My favorite cover version of this song is the Bob the Builder cover. The lyrics include a little bit of lifting heavy loads, a little bit of digging up the roads. That version hit number one on the charts in the UK.
Oh, geez.
Sorry about that, Dave.
It won Eurovision? What happened?
I didn't know. Don't apologize for that.
Question five. You're probably wondering how I got into this situation. The rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, the 1798 poem that brought us the phrase water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink, begins with the protagonist bringing some bad luck upon himself by using a crossbow to shoot what kind of bird?
Reluctant.
Don't kill the seabird.
Two episodes in a row. new tradition. I'm gonna do it next time too, if I remember.
Or if something is tangentially related to a shebird.
No, I was trying to think of something. I don't want to say a little less plain, but something a little less plain than just like a seagull, like something a little more specific, like or a little more penguin. You know,
no. Or a flamingo.
Oh yes, flighted birds.
A penguin.
They're rowing past a rock, and there's one penguin standing on the rock, like.
Can you think of like a mythological bird, I guess, other than a seagull, something that would be a big deal to hit with a crossbow?
Now, this is totally mixing and matching, but isn't like Athena's sacred bird like an owl? Like, I think there's birds that are specific to mythology, but I don't know if I can think of a, or didn't Odin have like ravens or crows or something that he talked to?
Yeah, that makes sense. The ravens or the crow. I believe you're right on that. Yeah, I don't know if it would be an owl.
Odin's not the only one. I also find it enjoyable.
I don't know. Should we just go with like seagull because it's an easy one? I feel like it's going to be something a little bit more epic, but or it's either that or, like you said, maybe it's a raven or something. That's kind of cool.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, a raven has its own poem. Mm. This poem pertains to the albatross.
It is the albatross.
The albatross around his neck.
I would say, which is now hanging upon Neil's neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a feeling it was that. I just minus couldn't think of the name of it because I know you talk about that all the time. I just couldn't think of the name.
All right. And the scores after five are as follows: 40 points to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, and 20 points, rather, to Neil Goes to Space Camp.
Neil Goes to Space would be cooler, but Space Camp is still pretty cool.
Next best thing.
All right. Let's get question six.
Question six, House Hunters. The Cliff Palace and the Longhouse are among the several remarkable cliff dwellings built by the ancestral Puebloans in the 12th and 13th centuries in present-day Colorado. In what national park and UNESCO World Heritage Site can you find these dwellings?
Yeah, right. We're not doing any better, so locked in.
We picked a place with a cliff.
All right. I don't know too much about national parks, but I'm sure Colorado has to have one that's pretty famous. Do you happen to know?
When I think of Colorado, I think of Pikes Peak. It's a good thing my dad's not going to listen to this episode because I'm like 98% certain he has taken me to this place.
Was there a cliff palace or longhouse that you remember?
No. No, which is a fat lot of good that does us.
Well, Pikes Peak is a lot better than what I'm going to come up with. And I feel like having a little game theory here, it is something that is brewed at the coffee conglomerate. So maybe we just go with it.
It is not.
Well, Pike's Place, but.
Which is a very different thing.
I know it's Seattle.
All right, Pike's Peak?
Pike's Peak.
All right. We're going with Grand Canyon National Park, which could be wrong, but it's in Colorado, partially at least.
So this is Mesa Verde National Park.
Mm.
Oh.
The only national park that focuses more on human-created things than natural landmarks.
Cool.
Interesting.
Question 7. A straw definitively has one hole. With a name derived from the Greek for the study of place or location, what branch of mathematics is concerned with the properties of geometric objects that are unchanged under continuous deformations, such as stretching, smooshing, twisting, and bending? An important result of this field is the hairy ball theorem.
I've got this 100%.
Zane, I have to say, I was just thinking to myself earlier, how many holes does a t-shirt have? And then collapsing it in my mind. And so thank you. These are the things that people need to hear.
So they're locked in and we don't know, right? We have no idea.
Something about math?
Yeah, math. Well, math. We're out.
Yeah. How many holes does my brain have right now? Like 30. That was not good for me.
What's the answer? Tell us.
Topology.
It is topology.
I have heard of that. The question didn't sound like I'd heard of it. Mm-hmm. But
I believe human beings have 7 holes.
We're not going to count.
That is a very interesting Vsauce video.
Yes, isn't it? Thank you.
Question 8. Innovation that excites. What film opens with an infomercial for the glow-in-the-dark flashlight? The inventor, Larry Daly, created the device in response to his experiences in the previous film.
We're locked in. Because I strangely had not seen this movie, but it was presented in a class that I was subbing at school.
Interesting.
I know what this is referencing. I'm just having trouble pulling it. You don't have any clue on this one, do you, David?
No, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, and maybe I can poke you closer in the right direction.
Larry Daly is like, sounds so familiar. I don't think it's Ghostbusters. I was trying to think if it's Ghostbusters 2, but and he saw a ghost or something. He wanted the glow-in-the-dark flashlight. This is disappointing. I feel like I was going to step in for your pop culture stuff, but yeah, this one's killing me. Do you just want to say Ghostbusters 2, unfortunately, which I think is wrong?
Yeah, I'm fine with Ghostbusters 2. I don't think I'm going to be able to think my way into this in any reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, me either. All right, we'll just say Ghostbusters 2.
Well, like I said, I think this would be difficult had I not just happened to seen it randomly, but it's Night at the Museum 2.
It is my favorite movie when I was 10 years old, Night at the Museum 2.
When you were 10 years old? Oh, my God, we're old.
My back just started flaring up as soon as you said that.
I am Generation Z and proud of it. Question 9, somewhat famous quotes. Upon exiting the Apollo 12 lunar module, what astronaut exclaimed, "Whoopee! Man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me."
Yeah, honestly, that's what I was thinking, and I was going to say it out loud, so I'm glad you just wrote it down. So that's our answer.
I feel pretty good about who was on Apollo 11, which doesn't help. Except maybe eliminating, I don't think they turned around and were on Apollo 12. I know in some of the Apollo missions, they started circling back around. Like, didn't Alan Shepard end up on the moon? He was one of the first people to in space and orbit Earth and all that stuff.
I think it's a kind of a classic name because like, you had Neil, which is a little different. But Alan, I feel like it was like John, Peter, William. I'm trying to think. It was like a classic name. It wasn't there a Peter?
Could have been.
Have you ever heard, is there an astronaut named Peter Conrad?
Could be. I'm okay locking in Conrad.
And we did say Alan Shepard.
Yeah, we went with old golf ball Shepard.
He did an orbit and then he returned to the moon.
Great pool by Neil. This is Pete Conrad.
Wow.
Wow.
Woo.
That was weird.
It's pulling out your Peter.
Unnatural.
Good job. Unnatural.
Unsavory.
Neil comes up with answers that some would consider unnatural.
I have to make up for the Night at the Museum 2. I've seen all those movies. That's bad.
That I believe.
Question 10. Buy and HODL. Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, the 2008 white paper that first conceptually developed decentralized blockchains and laid the foundation for the now ubiquitous cryptocurrency, was published under what pseudonym?
We'll say the Bored Ape.
I won't be invited to this yacht club.
I have absolutely no idea. I didn't understand a lot of those words, David. So you can just say whatever you want, and I will back you 100%.
Sylvester Stallone.
Good with me.
I have no idea.
One Bored Ape and Sylvester Stallone. Who would win in a fight? Let's find out.
Who's worth more now, to be honest?
This is Satoshi Nakamoto. A bit of a stumper there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the second one in the round that nobody got, but they were trading blows back and forth this entire time. And only a slight lead now to the Reading Rainbow or whatever your team was.
What are you talking about?
I see that you wrote RR on the paper for Rock and Roll.
Yes.
You interpreted it as Reading Rainbow.
I like to just change stuff midstream.
Okay. Well, we have 50. Y'all have 40.
Yes, Neil's Space Camp has 40.
You're drawing doodles. Your page is full of doodles, but not team names.
No scores. No team
or
names.
Or no scores.
I have scores on here.
All right.
That was not the problem.
You're on probation. Let's find out what the swing round is.
All right. So the swing round is very simple. I'm going to give you the first and last names of 10 presidents, and I want you to give me their middle name for 5 points each. And because I'm a nice guy, if all you give is the initial, I'll give you 1 point if it's right.
Okay.
One, Lyndon Johnson. Two, Bill Clinton. Three, Joe Biden. Four, Donald Trump. Five, Harry Truman. Six, James Polk. Seven, Warren Harding. Eight, Richard Nixon. Nine, Rutherford Hayes. 10, Jimmy Carter.
All right, we'll consider the middle names of these folks and we'll be back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places. Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan. But nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we are back with our answers. Some of these middle names sound like middle names, some of them don't. We'll see what happens. Let's get the presidents one more time, and we'll give the middle names.
All right, number one, Lyndon Johnson.
This one came quickly. We said Baines.
We also said Baines.
It is Baines.
My favorite part is when Johnson breaks Batman's back.
Number two, Bill Clinton.
It took a little thinking, but we remembered it was Jefferson.
We also had Jefferson.
Right again, it is Jefferson. Number three, Joe Biden.
This one was pretty hard. We thought it began with an R, and we said Robert.
We also thought it began with an R. We kind of settled on Robin, something similar to that, and we actually ended up going with Robinson.
So close. It is Robinette.
So 1 point each for the R.
Number four, Donald Trump.
Much like Homer, we thought his middle initial was J, so we went with Joseph.
We also said Jesus' daddy, Joseph.
Wrong J name. It is John.
Wrong biblical J name.
Is that 1 point for the J?
Yep, you guys both got 1 point for the J.
I should have remembered that because it sounds weird. Donald John Trump.
Number five, Harry Truman.
We knew it was an S, so we said Samuel.
We also knew it was an S, but we believe that it is a misnomer. It doesn't exist, so we said it doesn't exist, but it's an S.
It is just S.
So they get 10 points or 5 points and we get 1?
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
The backstory here is that he had like 2 grandfathers that both had names that started with S. So the way that they appeased both of them was to have his middle name just be S.
That's one way to go.
Number 6, James Polk.
Pretty sure it's a K, and we went with Kelvin.
We also thought it was a K. We had no idea. Neil was trying to pull some strings, and he ended up with Killarney.
It is K.
If Killarney's right, I'm walking out.
Don't worry. You're both getting 1 point.
It is K, but the name is Knox.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I couldn't think of one K name that was like old school. So I was like, maybe he's from Ireland.
So you came up with Killarney.
The classic.
Number 7, Warren Harding.
All right. Now, Harding was a insatiable man who named his junk Jerry. So we thought maybe it was after his middle name, and we said it was Gerald with a G.
This one we were having trouble with. We just thought for fun, since David works in aerospace engineering, I said, what's the name of the moon? And he said Ganymede. And we said, let's go with Ganymede.
Not our moon, teams, but a moon.
A moon.
Not as weird as you think.
Both teams write with G, but it is Gamaliel.
Ah, that's my future child's name. How did you know?
Number 8, Richard Nixon.
Everything's coming up Milhouse. We said Milhouse.
We also said Milhouse.
Good job to both teams. It is Milhouse. I thought that would be one of the more difficult ones.
Not for us Simpsons fans. You know that one.
Number 9, Rutherford Hayes.
Pretty sure this was a B as well, so we went with another Simpsons reference, Bartholomew.
That's a good guess. We knew it was a B. We thought maybe it was another name that presidents have had, and we just said Buchanan.
It is B, but it is Burchard.
My second born.
Number 10, Jimmy Carter.
No idea. Jimmy Carter.
Now I wish we had that middle name guess, but we went for William. James Williams sounded great for a president.
Spoiler, he's one of the other James Earls, guys.
While William would be a more appropriate name for one of Ken's children, it is Earl.
I'm waiting to meet little Gamaliel Burchard Pandola.
I'm looking forward to meeting him too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tally up those odd scores.
Yeah, very odd scores. All right, so after the swing round, what we're looking at here is a score of 65 for Neil Goes to Space Camp, and for Team Rolling Rock, 71.
Rolling right. Rock?
I'm just going to keep changing it to RR names.
Okay. Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. A third Simpsons reference.
All right, question 11, insult to injury. In what might be considered poor taste, in December 2020, Netflix released what documentary focusing on a now unique store in Bend, Oregon?
We can lock it.
Yeah, same.
Okay, I believe I know this one. I watched a documentary. I used to work there. I believe it's The Last Blockbuster.
And we said The Last Blockbuster.
Both teams getting points. It is The Last Blockbuster, which is now also, I think, an Airbnb.
Is it still Blockbuster themed? Like it's like the store?
Yeah, so you can rent movies there, but then I think on some occasions you can also spend the night there if that's what you want to do.
Neil?
I'll do it. Well, we'll reenact our own career opportunities, but inside The Last Blockbuster.
There I feel like we should, take a triviality trip there and do a recording in The Last Blockbuster.
I'll reach out. I bet they'd let us do it.
Yeah.
Question 12. I'll drink to that. Jerry Thomas, considered the father of American mixology, included the first written recipes for a variety of cocktails in his work, The Bartender's Guide. Among them was what drink, composed of gin, lemon juice, sugar, and carbonated water. In a popular prank during the 1870s, the prankster would attempt to convince the listener that a man with this name was talking bad about them in a nearby bar.
And we're going to lock in on this one.
So, David, the only drink I can think of which could be too easy that has a name is Tom Collins.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, because I can't think of any other drink. So you, let's just go with that then, if you're cool.
It'd really be something if Arnold Palmer was talking bad about you in the next bar over.
In the 1870s?
Yeah. We also said Tom Collins.
It is Tom Collins.
I'm just trying to think of a second 1870s prank.
That was the only prank?
Like, what else? What other shenanigans did people get up to?
Question 13. A line in the sand. A spider, a hummingbird, and a monkey are among what group of geoglyphs in southern Peru? Archaeologists are still discovering new figures in the region today with the help of drones.
So I know what these are, but I don't know what they're called. Do you?
No.
We're out.
So I think we're just missing the jaguars and the barracudas.
The silver monkey.
So I don't think these are legends snake. Of the Hidden Temple, but do you have any idea on this one, David?
Nope, not a clue.
I don't either. So we're going to say the spider, the hummingbird, and the monkey are all types of Legends of the Hidden Temple. I can't come up with anything funnier. Yeah,
it's like the big drawings in the earth.
Oh, you know those things. About? Yeah, kind of like crop circles, but drawings.
I think it's like the something drawings or something engraving. So what is it? We don't know.
These are the Nazca lines.
Nazca lines. A lot of interesting names in this game today, like Gamaliel, the Nazca lines.
Neil.
Space Camp.
Question 14. Conlanging, but for real. Though there is no direct evidence that it existed, what language is hypothesized to have been spoken during the late Neolithic Age and Bronze Age, and to be the common ancestor of many modern languages, including the Romance languages, the Germanic languages, Russian, and Hindi? Linguists have given much attention to reconstructing this language, whose three-word name is abbreviated P-I-E.
I've got this one. Thanks, stupid world geography class I had to take as an aerospace engineer.
Oh, nice. Thank you. I'm glad that you know it.
P-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
Pie.
Pie.
Yum.
She's my cherry.
Mm-hmm.
We're on warrant again. Got it.
I really don't know.
Can we suss out the letters? Do you think it's phonetic?
I've thought about sussing out the letters, and then I thought against it. Because I can't suss it out.
Oh, okay. I thought it was laziness.
A little bit of both.
Phonetic something expressions. Phonetic involuntary
Indo
expressions. what are we saying here?
Yeah, very good. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, we're locked in.
That's the thing.
Tell us what it is.
Ken, I think you're 1-for-3. I believe this is called Proto-Indo-European.
Okay.
Yep, David is 3-for-3. It is Proto-Indo-European.
Oh. Never would have got there.
So that's what Snoop Dogg was talking about in Gin and Juice.
Oh. Not good enough. Not good enough for the cut.
Is that making the cut?
Apologies, Neil.
Much like your boy band, Neil, this is not making the cut.
Mm-hmm. Neither is that.
Question 15, potpourri. Wilt Chamberlain's famous 100-point game occurred in an arena in what city? This city is also home to the company that produced the majority of the notoriously unappetizing D rations for the U.S. military during World War II.
Yeah.
All right, we have a small inkling, not a large inkling, but that's how you use the inkling, right, Matt?
Well, you can use the inkling however you feel, actually. Okay.
So we're locked in.
Does this one ring a bell with you at all?
I was just trying to think of cities with basketball teams. Are you saying D rations, like D as in Delta rations?
Yes.
Basketball city with a D in the name made me think of Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about old sports, like where Wilt Chamberlain played and who he played for and even what time frame he played. But that was my only clue in with the D rations.
I was thinking of, yeah, Detroit, Denver, Dallas. I don't know if Dallas and Denver were that old. Part of me thinks it's on the East Coast, but I'm not going to come up with anything better. So let's go Detroit. I like your answer, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he was playing for Philadelphia at the time, but I think they, I wasn't sure if they did it on the road. I was thinking New York at first, but just given D rations, we just said maybe they're playing in Detroit. So we said Detroit.
The D ration was a purposefully bad tasting piece of chocolate. This is Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense now. Okay. A lot of people don't like Hershey's, I found out, because they use like sour milk and stuff.
All right. After five, let me recap these scores here for everybody. There was a lead change with a score of 95 points. Neil Spacecamp is now in the lead.
Ooh.
They're blasting off.
By four. team Red Robin Yum has 91 points.
Disrespectful.
Indeed.
I'll get it right for the final.
We'll learn respect when we crush these guys, though, Matt.
Yeah.
Let's kick it into high gear for question six.
Let's try to know something this time.
Question 16, the most magical architecture on Earth. What is the name of the iconic geodesic dome-shaped ride at the entrance of Epcot at Disney World? Throughout the 15-minute ride, patrons see various scenes of advances in human communication.
I've got this one if you guys want to talk it out.
All right, these guys are locked in. Yeah, it's I've been on it in the last 10 years.
Yeah. It's not Tomorrowland? That's a different place, right?
It does have a boring name, like the history of humankind or
yeah,
something like that. Okay, I think something's coming to me, and we're going to lock in with Spaceship Earth.
Wow! Oh, nice pull. It is indeed Spaceship Earth.
Wow.
It is indeed Spaceship Earth.
Wow. Listeners, you won't hear the 17 minutes of dead silence.
It wasn't
well,
17.
Ken,
it was,
Ken thought it out.
Maybe 1 minute.
But he
maybe
got there.
Ken took his shirt off for some reason.
And then another 16
minutes.
Sweating
that was profusely. For you guys. That was for you guys.
We didn't ask.
Good
for
pull,
it.
Sir.
Read my abs and weep.
You're the George Costanza of trivia. He goes to the bathroom, you play trivia, you take your shirts off. Mm-hmm.
Question 17, the birthplace of speed slicing. Woohoo Island is the primary setting of what video game?
I think I have an idea on this one. Not a game I'm particularly good at. A little frightening to me, to be honest, but we're locked in.
Do you play games, David?
Oh, sure, but not this game. I know there's a pretty popular cooking-based game where you're like a chef and it's cooperative and... The first thing that popped in my head where it said speed slicing was, is it Fruit Ninja? Is that what it's called? Where it's something like the flying flute and you have to slice it midair?
Yeah, that was actually the first thing I thought of when he said speed slicing was Fruit Ninja. I don't know if it has a setting, but that was the first that came to mind.
That's a good question. I don't know if it has a setting either. I'm not going to be able to pull the game where you are a sous chef and you're trying to whatever bits and pieces and fragments I've got in my head. So I'm good going with Fruit Ninja. At least we know that's a game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Matt suggested Fruit Ninja, and I don't think that one has a setting, but one that I do know that you move around a map on is the game that I'm terrified of playing with people because they always scream at me because I suck, is Overcooked.
This is probably my favorite video game when I was 10 years old, Wii Sports Resort.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, slicing as in golf?
So there's a game where you essentially have this kind of sword kind of thing, like a saber, and these things come plop down in front of you, and you're supposed to like cut it in a certain direction as fast as you can, and that is speed slicing.
Okay.
I watch
so it's Fruit Ninja, but Wii Sports.
Pretty much. Question 18. $1,000. Since 2000, a $1 million award from the Clay Mathematics Institute has awaited anyone who solves the Riemann hypothesis or any of the other problems in what collection of seven mathematical problems? The Poincaré conjecture is the only to have been conquered so far. It was solved in 2006 by Grigory Perelman, who declined the money.
We can lock in, I think.
I think we can, too. Aren't these the Millennium Problems?
I'll have to ask my friend, Will Hunting. He knows about the Fields Medal and whatnot, but I trust you.
Well, yeah, I think the Navier-Stokes equation is one of them, too, which is a big aerospace question.
I just don't understand why they don't write these problems in the break room of like a janitorial department.
They'd get solved right away.
Solved.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to miscall them the Willennium problems because that's a different problem these days. So we also went with the Millennium problem.
Both teams getting points. It is the Millennium Prize problems.
How'd you know that?
I was actually in the process of writing a question about that very thing.
I thought Matt was working really hard to solve the Poincaré conjecture.
I need that $1 million.
The Riemann hypothesis.
I could buy two apes.
I had no idea I could solve math problems and retire.
Yeah.
It's my only hope.
Good luck.
Question 19. A precious accomplishment. Equivalent to the rank of Eagle Scout, what is the highest achievement within the Girl Scouts of America?
Isn't it the outer edge brownie with the crispy outside?
Oh, the excellent crust, yeah.
The Thin Mint Award.
I have a 7-year-old in Girl Scouts, so I'm all over this. I will lock in, Neil.
Awesome, thank you. I was going to say, Ken, regarding your comment, I had family members who, when we had cake for family events, they would only request middles, and they would only take middles.
Mm.
So it would just be a cake with no middle.
I would kind of like the chewiness of the outer edge brownie.
I love like pizza. I love the crust on the outside. I'll eat the middle, but I'll
take whatever I can get.
Yeah.
The category, a precious medal, is that what it was? I think something.
A precious accomplishment.
Precious accomplishment. Made me think of precious medals. Maybe it's one of the precious medals.
Gold sash.
Yeah, like a gold something or other. I don't know.
We'll say the gold sash.
Gold sash.
They have sashes, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know anything about a sash, but I'm pretty sure this is the gold award.
Yep. Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp nearly picking up on the hint. It is just the gold award.
5 points. No. That's okay.
What is the award? Is it just like a
block of gold?
A block of gold, yeah.
They give you a gold bar for being a Girl Scout.
Save this up, kid.
Question 20. I'm glad I realized this was a hoax before the show. From the calm morning, the end will come. When of the dancing horse, the number of circles will be 9. In December 2012, a hoax claimed that this was a quatrain of Nostradamus and that it predicted the world would end after what internet milestone was achieved.
Yeah, I wrote a play for kids to perform about Nostradamus. It was like a comedy thing and the Mayan calendar. But I cannot remember
anybody liked it.
The History Channel made so much money off Nostradamus in 2012.
They're probably still making money off of him.
You said
no, they're on aliens.
You said it was
no.
In 2012. 2012 hoax.
Yeah, they just solved it. It's about the internet. What could be a milestone of the internet? 1 million AOL discs loaded.
Yeah, I have no idea. The number of circles will be 9.
Mm.
Let's
say not YouTube or anything. I have literally no idea.
Yeah, same here. So let's take a tap.
Yeah.
Sorry, internet.
So do you have any ins on this, Neil?
Just that clue of like the circles will be 9, which to me equals 1 trillion.
So there's two things internet based that make me think that could come to 9 zeros. And I'm starting to think me and Zane have like the same YouTube subscription list based on some of these questions. So the two things that I thought of were when we run out of IP addresses.
Okay.
But I think that requires more. Well, no, that could be true because I think IP addresses in current form require 8 hexadecimal numbers. So if you need one more, that would be 9. And I don't know what happens when you run out of IP addresses. The other thing I was thinking of is when 32-bit computers run out of memory to count time.
Okay.
32-bit computers count time using an 8-digit binary number. It's like seconds since January 1st, 1970 or something really specific like that. And I think that runs out in the next decade. So it's sort of like a Y2K thing. Everybody's got to get off of 32-bit machines or their clocks won't work. So
everything just said was smarter than anything I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm. So
a rocket scientist.
So the end times made me think of the end of Unix time, end of 32-bit computer clock time. Basically, you run out of memory to count time.
Both of those ideas made sense to me. I realize I said trillion, I meant million, but what you just said for the answer, the 32-bit, that makes a lot of sense. I feel good about that if you want to go with it.
That sounds good to me. That's, like I said, this is me totally, you know, shooting somewhere in the dark. So I'm good with that.
And we had no answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, David, going much more technical than was required for this question, unfortunately. This is Gangnam Style music video, becoming the first YouTube video to get 1 billion views.
Wow. Oh, the horses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, I was way off.
I'm glad it was a lot dumber than that.
Me too.
I feel terrible. At first I said it was a trillion, and then I said it was a million.
Yeah, you were
so
super
now that
wrong.
We know it's Gangnam Style, let's hear the prediction one more time.
Oh, the from the calm morning, the end will come. When of the dancing horse, the number of circles will be 9.
Ooh, chilling.
Oh, yeah.
Also chilling are the scores, I'm guessing.
All right, so going into the final round, we're looking at a score of 125 points for Neil Goes to Space Camp and 111 for Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
When the ones will be 3.
Oh, Ken Stradamus.
I like that, Ken Stradamus.
Ken Stradamus. What are you feeling for the year 2023?
I predict that I will blow it in the final round like I always do. Let's get the categories.
Your categories are before and after, insurance, music lists, humorists, and dirt.
And the wagers are now locked in. It looks like we are betting that you will blow it. You have bet 25 on all the questions, and we have bet 0 on all the questions. So we are counting on your failure.
Mm-hmm. When the zeros reach 5.
Yeah. Wait. We also count on our Patreon subscribers, however. We have Patreon subscribers on our show today. We can't thank them enough. And, you know, you can join Patreon, too. Jeff, you want to talk about the perks?
I absolutely do, but I really want to hear the prediction from Nostrakenis about where we'll be at next year with our patrons.
I like 1,000.
1,000
patrons
would be amazing. In fact, 1,000 patrons would allow at least one of us to do this show full time.
10,000.
10,000.
I mean, that would be great, but like, let's
20,000 patrons. $20,000 a month.
What are we, the podcast Dungeons and Daddies? Because
if every
successful.
One of our listeners,
they don't give us money, don't promote them.
$1.
They're fun.
We'd be made in the shade.
Anyways, as Ken said, if you can contribute to this show, you could do so directly at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast, for where your support would get you just some lovely, lovely benefits, including, you know, bonus episodes, posters, character boxes, mm-hmm. our undying love and affection, which I think really that's the perk to go for.
And just $1 would be sweet. $1 mm-hmm. from everybody would be sweet.
That's right.
How many dollars do you have to give to just to unlock the episodes, which we have tons of on there?
That's just $5 a month.
$5 a month.
Wow, $5 a month.
Gets you 2 guaranteed bonus episodes a month, including our fan favorite crap drops.
There you go.
You get enough. We get enough of those, you'll stop hearing about it.
All right. And that will conclude the plug. Let's get the questions.
Before and after, the first Tudor monarch of England views a 1957 Swedish film set during the Black Death. Insurance. What insurance marketplace, which is not a single company but rather a group of interconnected syndicates, is known for insuring unusual risks such as David Beckham's legs, Bruce Springsteen's voice, Troy Polamalu's hair, and the Intelsat 1, the first spacecraft to be insured. More seriously, its motto, Fidentia, meaning confidence, conveys its reputation for reliable claims payments, even due to large losses, of which it has seen many. Music lists. What two singers are missing from this list? Chris Cornell, 2006. Jack White and Alicia Keys, 2008. Blank, 2012. Blank, 2015. Billie Eilish, 2021. Humorists. Love, a temporary insanity curable by marriage, is among the contents of the Devil's Dictionary. a satire by what American author who disappeared in Mexico in 1913 under mysterious circumstances? And finally, dirt. Soil texture classification is based on the percentages of three materials in a soil sample. Name two of these materials.
Okay, we have the questions, so we'll be right back.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police,
as she should have, exactly. Exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the Nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with our answers. It's going to be close. We were listening to these guys talk, and you know, they got to get three right. We have nothing on the line. It's all up to them. But we did do our best to answer these questions. So let's have the questions one more time, and we'll give our answers.
Before and after, the first Tudor monarch of England views a 1957 Swedish film set during the Black Death.
Naturally, I got Seventh Seal as the second part, so we're figuring that's Henry the Seventh Seal.
We got the same thing. Thanks, Neil. We got Henry the Seventh Seal.
It is Henry the Seventh Seal. Insurance, looking for the insurance marketplace that insures a lot of unusual risks.
You want to take this, Matt?
Yeah, I actually just heard this on a recent Trivial Warfare episode, so shout out to those guys. I'm sure that this is Lloyd's of London.
Well, we were pretty close. David said, could it possibly be Lords of London, which sounded good to me, so we're looks like we were close, but we said Lords of London.
It is Lloyd's of London.
If you said it with an accent, Lloyd's.
That's true, yeah.
All right, music lists. What two singers are missing from this list? Chris Cornell, 2006. Jack White and Alicia Keys, 2008. Blank, 2012. Blank, 2015. Billie Eilish, 2021.
That would be Adele and Sam Smith, which I believe stole that song from Radiohead. Like, it was supposed to be Radiohead, and then Sam Smith got it instead. But yeah, Adele and Sam Smith.
Yeah, we thought these were the performers of the James Bond theme songs. So we said Adele, Skyfall, and Sam Smith, Spectre.
Yep, these are the five performers of specifically the Daniel Craig era of James Bond movies, which are the only ones I've ever watched. So that's the ones that I know.
That's fine. And the Cornell one is the best.
Humorists. Love. A temporary insanity curable by marriage is among the contents of the Devil's Dictionary, a satire by what American author who disappeared in Mexico in 1913 under mysterious circumstances?
I hear the words humorist and satire and American author, and I said Mark Twain.
we discussed this one for a really long time. David brought up Mark Twain, but we both couldn't agree that he disappeared ever and thought it was too late, 1913. I thought Zane was trying to do some sort of reference to a past Triviality episode. I knew Ken and I, probably the best poll we've ever had was Bierce. We kept saying Bierce or Bierce. I believe it was Ambrose Bierce. We knew I knew he was a writer around that time. Ken wouldn't let me know if that was the answer that we did poll until after I locked in. But we locked in with Bierce.
This was not a reference, but it is Ambrose Bierce.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
For half a second, I was like, well, 1913 would have been around the time of Halley's Comet. I was like, it could be Mark Twain.
A double Bierce ass poll.
I have no more room for Bierce in my ass. That's what I was
given. Dirt. Soil texture classification is based on the percentages of three materials in a soil sample. Name two of these materials.
We had no idea, so we said lime and CO2 because nothing was on the line for us.
We were like, soil texture? I don't know. We went kind of simple on this one. I said water and rocks, which is a little vague because I have no idea.
So this is clay, sand, and silt.
Mm.
Three particles of various size and texture.
Well, with the beers.
Yeah, I soiled myself on that answer.
I believe you might be looking pretty.
Don't feel too bad about the Lords versus Lloyds. I very even recently, not that recently, but recently enough, it's embarrassing. I thought it was Alfred Lloyd Tennyson. So just going to throw that out there. So, Neil, feel better about that. But it was back and forth. You know, you guys lost zero, gained zero, lost zero over there. So, yeah, you ended up at 111, which you already knew. But today's cream of the crop, Neil goes to space camp with a whopping score of 150 points.
Mm.
I am the cream.
Congratulations, guys.
David, you carried us this entire game.
I can't believe it was Bierce.
It was Bierce again.
I didn't think he was a humorist.
I just knew he was a writer in that period, so I thought he was, because he was smirking over here while he's reading the question. Okay. I thought it was a trick.
He probably doesn't even remember that.
No. He probably doesn't remember it.
I just smile a lot.
Oh, okay.
Big smiler.
He seems affable, so.
Well, you have a reason to smile, because you wrote a great game today, so thank you for that. Do you have any parting words for us today?
Thanks for having me. I had a great time hosting. I actually wrote a lot of these questions originally for trivia nights that I hosted at my church in Athens when I was a student at the University of Georgia. So shout out to them. And shout out to Louis the Grand Playtester for helping me work some of the bumps out of this game.
Can't get through an episode without hearing about Louis.
Yeah,
how great he is.
The weekly Louis shout out. Yeah.
Yeah, we do need a weekly Louis shout out. We should have a chair here where he'll never sit in unless he visits, but it's just the Louis chair.
We'll just set dinner out for him. Well, thanks again for joining us. And David, thank you for joining us. Any final words from you?
No, thank you guys very much for having me. I guess it's a crazy time out there, guys. Just be nice to everybody as best you can. Take care of your family and take care of those around you.
Very good advice. I'll take it to heart because I'm very mean.
Sound words.
I'm not really mean.
I'm just
kidding.
Just, you know, take care of those around you. Do what you can. Don't be a
Don't be
right?
a dick. Let's take that away. That's a lot of bleeps, but that'll be it for today's episode, right, Neil?
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We had a wonderful time. And yeah, thanks everyone here in the studio for existing, being friends.
Okay. Bye. That was Triviality.
All right, and after five questions, quite a bit of a difference in score already. We've got the team of whatever the team names
Neil
are.
Neil goes to space camp, rock and roll fantasy camp.
Rock and roll fantasy camp, okay.
Do it again.
Didn't write it on his page.
No.
He's doodling.
Neil, space camp.
I also need the reminder, so thank you for that.
No, yeah, but it's not your job.
I'm supposed to be a professional. It's supposed to be.